possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You have a new text message. You have a new text message.
Mixed family, your help is needed for this quick text. It's one line, but it means so much. How do you know when it's time to let go of your marriage?
Ooh, heavy yeah, stuff.
Big time. 414-432-1099. That is the text we received. The text lines brought to you by the Amato Automotive Group, home of warranty forever, is text roulette. That's the question to throw out at you. That's all we got, pretty much. Normally, we'll get text messages that go kind of go on and on. Sometimes they go on quite a bit, which is great because we get a little more context to the situation. But this is just a one quick question.
Well, Radar has not been through a divorce, and I have been through a divorce.
I was just going to say, Elizabeth, I have not been through a divorce, so how do you know when it's time to let go of your marriage? So this is something I'm turning to you, I'm turning to the mixed family about.
Well, and it's personal for everybody. I mean, there's people that have gone through divorces because they've been angry, and there are times where I feel like, look, you know when you stop caring about things, that's when it's like, this isn't it. But for me, it was just our futures weren't aligned. What he had in mind for the future, what I had in mind for the future, it just wasn't aligned. Things just weren't lined up.
Does it happen when, like, your sister-in-law starts stealing money from your brother's business? Is that a good time to get divorced?
Ooh,
that's what happened like you said, I haven't been through this, but that happened to my brother, and it was like, okay, there were some other things going on too, but that was like the last straw. He was like, all right, we're done. We're done. You're taking money for, you're hiding money from my business here. Yeah.
But so in that case, it's when trust is irretrievably broken.
Sure.
And you can't come back from that. It's also, if you've exhausted all efforts, if you feel like you've given it a go, maybe you've gone and gotten some therapy and some counseling, you've worked through some things, but you still look at that person and say, yeah, my future just isn't with you. That's a moment too, when you just know. But
just
I feel like
it.
For every single person that has gone through a divorce, they have the moment where if you were hemming and hawing, you're like, that was it. And, you know, in our case, it was at a wedding where things just didn't go the way they should have. We were guests at a wedding, and I remember driving him home that night thinking, this isn't it. I don't see a future here with this anymore. And so it wasn't like in that moment or that next day, but that's when I knew, like, yeah, this just isn't. We've grown up and we've grown apart,
well,
and we're two different people.
That's the thing, too. I know some people who have been married over 25 years who say, yeah, the kids are out of the house. We just kind of grew apart. And then that's when we knew it. We both knew it was time to let go of the marriage then. After all those years, it was like, nah, you know what? We want to go our separate ways. Kind of like we like different things as we got older.
And you're not a bad person if you choose to go through a divorce. I know I went through some years of shame that I had to work through, where I felt like I was a failure. Having been raised Catholic, I thought, oh my gosh, I made a promise and I broke this promise.
That Catholic guilt.
But it takes time, and you have to also take care of yourself when you're going through that difficult decision too, and have some grace that there's going to be. It's like a muscle you were flexing, and then you stopped flexing that muscle, and you have to kind of reprogram your brain a little bit.
Yeah, so mixed family, this would be great if you can help us out with this situation. 414-432-1099.
Mama Bear Missy, hey, you're live on the radio. What'd you want to say?
All I want to say is make sure you try therapy first before you actually give up anything within the marriage or even the marriage at all.
And you went down that road too. Did you find that gave you more clarity?
Absolutely. Absolutely. More and more secrets came out, more and more like hate, I guess, towards the other person.
Wait, you had towards him?
That gets nasty.
But you felt like though it gave you a clear mind to say, okay, this is what needs to happen.
Correct. And going into therapy, I had like a clear mind, and I was, you know, going to listen to everything that he said, the therapist said, whatever have you. but it gave me so much clarity.
Yeah, and this mixed listener, I don't think has been through therapy. I mean, that all they asked was the first question there. How do you know when it's time to let go of your marriage? There's not like there's anything else after that. And it would be good for them to maybe look into that.
Well, and on the flip side, with love, they say, you know when you know. You can also look at that for divorce.
That's true.
If you're asking yourself, hey, do I want to stay in this marriage anymore? It means you are really at a crossroads right now, contemplating something really heavy. What kind of secrets came out in therapy, though?
That he has been cheating, and I didn't even know.
Wow!
Going on
so
for
that was
like almost 4 years.
That was the nail in the coffin. That was correct. For you to learn that there was
the infidelity there. Yeah,
that trust is just broken. Mm. And did you feel like because you went through therapy when you were processing it yourself after the fact, after the divorce, did you feel like you were even more firm in your decision because you had gone that path through therapy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was able to come more to a conclusion and be, I guess, satisfied with myself for saying, okay, I did exactly what I needed to do for my family. Because I want to set up, you know, the 5 kids and all of us. Absolutely not. But in the same sense, when I had heard all of that, I've gone through the sessions. I came to a forgiveness, like to myself, saying this is what I needed to do.
That's so beautiful that you forgave yourself, that you said, look, you're in a situation where someone's not really giving you a reason to stay. I mean, you are putting yourself first, too, which is important. And with kids being involved, they always say kids would rather be from a broken home than live in one. And if you were going to be miserable in this marriage, what kind of mom would you have been? And you are Mama Bear Missy. Like, you take care of those kids. And so that means taking care of you, the mom, also.
And, you know, I actually came out stronger of being a better mom, of being better, like, friend to all of my other friends. Because more and more that you realize after the divorce and you start talking to your friends about the divorce and how you are doing, you actually realize on how much you actually shut them out as well when you were married with this person.
Mm. You're quite the revelation there in your life.
Absolutely.
Mama Bear Missy, always willing to share here on the radio, and we appreciate you doing that.
Did you...
No.
Wait a minute. About your friends now. Did you reconnect with those friends that you were shutting out?
Absolutely.
Well,
I reconnected with a friend that I did not speak to for like almost the whole marriage. And now she is practically an aunt to all of my children.
Mm. Good deal.
There you go.
It almost
gives you an eye into the relationship that you are losing yourself in it in a way.
Correct. And let me tell you, I lost over 75 pounds since I divorced him as well.
Wow. So you really got rid of that weight.
You lost all that weight.
It's gone. And I appreciate you talking about the process you went through, though, to heal yourself, because that does take time. Like I said, I know I felt shame after mine. I felt shame and embarrassed, and I felt like I was a failure. And that takes time to work through that. But then you realize, look, there's nothing wrong in changing your mind. There's nothing wrong in putting yourself first.
You know, absolutely. And all of my friends that have now gone through a divorce after me, they have come to me for advice, and they joke and they say, you know, you should have went to school to be like a psychologist or a therapist or something like that. I said, at any time you want some advice, you can come to me because I'll tell you straightforward.
Mama Bear, therapist, Missy. Oh, my gosh.
Which is what you do here on the show, and we appreciate you. Thanks for calling in and helping out this mixed listener.
You guys have a great day.
Ooh, can't wait to hear what you have to say. But first, a break from our sponsors.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dr. Julie is in the house to help us out with Text Roulette this morning. Dr. Julie, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Good morning.
All right. Good morning. So, Dr. Julie, this is a pretty serious question that we got this morning on the text line.
How do you know when it's time to let go of your marriage?
Oh, such a good question. What's interesting is it's different for different couples. I have in my practice, I've seen couples that are married work through some tremendous challenges, including even infidelity and emotional abuse. One thing I would say that I've seen, and I agree with this philosophy, is an erosion of trust. And that could be like persistent infidelity. It could be, you know, just lack of care of your heart, almost like a neglect situation. And that can erode trust. Definitely, I would say an unwillingness to get help for the marriage. If the marriage is in trouble and one or both partners do not want to work on it, that's definitely a sign.
You really explained that well. The erosion of trust can show its ugly head in many ways, whether it's financial trust. Where's the money going? Is it, I relied on you to pick up the kids and do your part, and you're not doing that, so you're not trusting them to be a good partner. It's not just infidelity when you say erosion of trust.
Absolutely. And the other thing that's interesting, Elizabeth, is neglect is a big one. When you start taking your partner for granted, and this is something that can be worked on in therapy, but when you persistently take your partner for granted and you don't put any time or effort into your partner, what the studies show, and this is fascinating, is that neglect can actually cause more damage than actual abuse.
Ooh. Really? That's amazing. I can't believe. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at it almost like people are living two separate lives here already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I think about people that are listening to this, maybe that aren't at the point of divorce, but are right now thinking about, yeah, my partner does this wrong. My partner does that wrong. But how are you showing up in the relationship too?
Truth.
Turn the mirror on yourself to think, wait, am I neglecting my partner? Am I giving them what they need? Now, devil's advocate here, though. What about people that hear that, Dr. Julie, and think, okay, easy to say, yeah, I'll put effort in my relationship if the person isn't reciprocating that? It's hard to put effort in if you are talking to a brick wall type thing.
100%. 100%. And often couples come to me and they'll say, well, it's his fault. It's her fault.
Oh.
No, it's both. Both. It always takes two.
Yeah.
Well, how many times do you need to try in a relationship like that before you say, okay, fine, this isn't going anywhere? Because, yeah, you want to try. Yeah. You want to be the person who says, I tried. Look at what I tried to do. Granted, you're looking at yourself again.
Yeah, I think it's important to say that you've put forth effort to try to salvage the marriage. But there does come a time, Radar. There does come a time where you're like, you know, I'm beating my head against the wall here.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly when your partner is unwilling to get the help, like they're not even willing to go see a counselor.
Yeah.
That's a big red flag too. Not just because that's my field, but what it's saying is this isn't worth it to me.
Ooh, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Got you.
I felt that one, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Julie.
Got you.
How do you handle couples though that come in where one is all gung-ho about therapy and the other one's not?
It's kind of tough, but what I do is I typically align with the partner that's not invested. And I want to show that partner that counseling can be a good thing.
Mm.
And it's not that you're going to be the bad guy or the bad girl. It's not that you're going to be to blame. It's that what can we do together to make things better? And it's not about the blame game.
And the effort.
Yeah,
the effort.
That.
Look, is the effort there?
Yeah. And Mama Bear, yeah. Missy said it. Now, Dr. Julie, you are saying it too for our text roulette question today. How do you know when it's time to let go of your marriage? They need to look into therapy first, couples therapy. And both of you have kind of said the same thing. So maybe we need to send that back to our mixed listener who texted this question in.
I think for sure. I mean,
at least take that
I
first
know.
Step.
Yes. Yes. I've been with my partner, him and I. We've been together for 27 years, and we've gone to couples counseling a couple of times throughout.
How about that? You're married to a therapist, and the therapist is saying, we're going to therapy. He's like, I live in therapy every day.
Because, I mean, we all know marriage is hard.
Marriage is hard, yeah. And my husband and I, we've gone to therapy, and we have no shame in that. We actually enjoy telling other couples about it when it gets brought up, because it's like, yeah, if you think about if you're not feeling well and you think you rolled an ankle, you go to the doctor and do some PT. And it's really helped us a lot, too, in communicating. And it doesn't mean that that's the demise of the relationship if you're walking into those therapist doors.
Absolutely correct. And most of us communicate so differently. I know my partner and I, him and I are opposites. We're opposites. And that's why we work.
Opposites attract. Don't they say that with relationships?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes. But communication between opposites, you got to learn strategies. You have to learn how to
change how you communicate so that you can get your message across.
Right. Absolutely.
So enlightening when you call into the show, Dr. Julie, the clinical psychologist that you are. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and even your personal experience here. We've never really heard much on the personal side from you, but you opening up and showing that vulnerability is helping somebody else. So thanks so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I hope your listener gets some help. And I hope it either works for them or they can hold their head up high and know they tried.
We just want to just want to see them happy no matter what is going to happen in this situation.
And it might be, you know, hard at first,
sure,
but you'll get there if you take the right steps. Thanks, Dr. Absolutely. Julie.
You bet. Have a good day.